My name's Marlene Campbell-Walker, ní Galbraith. I was born in the area and grew up here until I left at 18 to study. And I came back probably about when I was 31, and I've lived here ever since. So there's been a lot of changes over the years, really how it's been. My family really go back generations in Carradale. So my great-grandfather was actually a Gaelic speaker, but that Gaelic was kind of lost, and each generation was less so. Growing up in the village, it was a very happy childhood. Lots of family around. You knew everyone within the village. When we were young, I can just remember, the gardens full of fruit and vegetables, and you grew all your own things, and it was busy. It was very busy. There were lots of shops everywhere, loads of shops, and the summer times were very busy. They brought a lot of people into Carradale, and all these people, a fair number of them came back year after year and had long, long connections, are still coming back after all these years. As a child, a young child, we, went to the primary school here, and we used to get a break to school, we called it the break, and that would take us over, and then we'd walk home and we'd wander home, we'd climb over the walls, and everything was carefree, and you would detour into the woods to look at this, whether it was the flowers or the primroses that were coming out. It was always a social time on the way back home. And then the weather was good in the summer, you would be rushing back to get home, changed into your shorts, and maybe get your swimming costume and get down to the beach and into the water. And the summers always seemed much warmer then. Whether they were, I don't know, but they seemed so much warmer then. I was from a fishing family, so a lot of my life was around boats, and my father had the lobster boats, and I used to go out in the lobster boat with them to empty the creels, look for the lobsters, check the creels, put them in, and I would help, and I would hold the tiller on the boat. And even when he was making the creels, he would show me how they were made, and I would help, and I watched him. We would go to gather hazel to make the frame of the creels. They were made with hazel, and hazel was a nice straight wood. They would bend easily as well, so we would have a mould, and we would bend the hazel tree round and then tie it at the bottom, and then he would make a wooden slatted frame, and we'd make the frame, the top frame out of hazel, and then cover it in net, and then put a large stone in the middle. And I remember it all so vividly, and he taught me how to make a knot in a net, how to mend a net as well. I can remember, not maybe remember it too well now, but I do remember having the fishing, the needle and the twine, and helping to mend a hole in the net. So then later years, it was prawn boats and herring boats in between. Herring, of course, was the big industry really in Carradale, and my grandfather had two herring boats at that time, and all the family, the boys were grew up to be on the boats, apart from the eldest son who went off to Glasgow University, sort of thing. It seemed to be kind of tradition, almost the Highland thing, so he went off to study maths at Glasgow, and the others all went to carried on the fishing tradition, my father being one of them. But after that generation, things kind of changed job-wise. the next generation still did. I did have a number of cousins that went to the fishing after that, and they studied at school, and some were drawn to the fishing, some were drawn. One or two went away. All the girls went off to study, but the boys were all sort of drawn to the fishing for a bit, and then some would say, well, it's maybe not the way it was and whatever, and they would take themselves off to study further or do whatever. So things were starting to change at that point. I suppose the economy was changing then too. And the forestry, I mean, the forestry was busy. I can remember the forestry men all coming in from the hill. And my mum actually worked in the office there for a while. And it was, that again was busy. Busy, all the men coming in, and local employment, all the young families in the village, the school was busy. And of course there was always farming. I mean, they always sort of say, oh, fishing, farming, forestry, but it really was here. It really, that was really the main employees, apart from, you know, the businesses. There was lots of businesses though, lots of businesses, and they were able to survive. And we had the butcher's shop, we had a butcher van coming round, we had the co-op van would come, we had a local store, the Donald Campbell store van that came and had everything within it. And it was always exciting when you were young to go up the steps and go in and get some tasty, maybe a sweetie or, you know, something like that. And then we had paper vans that arrived on this Sunday as well. I can remember two paper vans coming to go round all the village, and they would sell sweeties along with it as well, which was a great attraction when you were young. And comics. You used to get the Beano or the Dandy or what, something, you know. They were all there too. So these were kind of earlier memories. And then as I grew up as a teenager, you had, it was buzzing. You had discos in the hall. You had a disco on a Monday night. You had another one on a Wednesday night. Then on the Friday night, you had a ceilidh dance. And the Saturday night, you had another disco. They were busy. Even the ones during the week, you know, were well attended, because lots of young people came. People came in families. They took the house for the month. Most people let out their house and they stayed in the back house. My grandparents did that as well as the boats. We used to call it the shed, and it said I would always go round to make that to the shed. Well, the shed actually had three bedrooms in it. It was they were amazing, but we called these the sheds. And there was other outhouses and things that they could use. But we worked as we grew up. Maybe we'd get little summer jobs. And we worked in the boarding houses or the cafes. That's where we started off. Usually the cafes, I think, started, and it was great. You were getting some pocket money, and you'd just spend it again in the cafe in the evening, because everybody met there. They came together, and there was locals, and there was the visitors, and you got to know the people who came here regularly. Then we would work in the boarding houses as well, and they were full, they were busy. We got the water from the boarding houses. We'd get the water from the spring and from the well at Portree to fill the tables, the jug of water from the tables. So you'd be collecting the water before dinner and get the water from there, because the water was really brown in the summer here, and it really wasn't attractive. And then the hotels were buzzing, you know. The hotel was busy and full, and the places were so full that even just the ordinary houses took in boarders and bed and breakfast and sleepers, as they would say. If the boarding houses were full, they didn't have enough bedrooms, then they would ask people to take a sleeper. This is Airbnb before it was called Airbnb, and they would take in. I remember one occasion my mum took a sleeper from one of the boarding houses in, and he arrived in a little sports car, which was very exciting for about a 5 or 6 year old. So needless to say, he gave me a run in this sports car, and this was very exciting to have a sports car in the village. And then for social life within the village as well, you know, we had things like, you know, obviously guides and brownies. There weren't brownies when I was young, but there were guides, and also I helped in the brownies too. That was a way of meeting some people from other villages, maybe Campbellton as well. So before you went to the secondary school, you had met people maybe at a guide camp, things like that. We had a junior choir here, a Gaelic choir, from when I was really quite young. I can remember we used to get taught the Gaelic, how to pronounce all the songs and things, from Mrs. McCallum, who was a local headmaster's wife. And they were both Gaelic speakers. We had great fun with that too, because we went to Maud's, and we went to, you know, and stayed overnight. So it was all exciting, going away for trips and things. And that's choirs. Then we did youth club later on, where we all met and socialised. But a lot of our activities, back when we were young, was outside. We were playing outside. You were making your little houses and dens, and meeting up with people. You're playing football any place you could find. You know, I used to play lots of football with the boys, often the goalkeeper, and because all the boys wanted to score goals. And, but it was active. Yeah, it was really active. And you play indoors a little bit, but most of my memories are really outside, meeting up with people. And then we'd have bikes. We used to, bogies as well was another thing we used to make. The little go-karts, little carts, they were called bogies. We would get old wheels and bits of board. A herring box, actually, was usually a good base. You'd get a herring box and you'd get a bit of wood and you'd get wheels attached. And I remember my pal Christine and I had a, we had SB1 on it, which was the old Argyllshire number, and we built it up so it had like a cabin in it. And the best place to use a bogie is down a hill. So we would be on the roads going down Portree Hill, down the peak here, Pier Bray. I was trying to make brakes on it. That's the sort of things we used to get up to it, till eventually her dad threw it off the end of the quay because he said it was too dangerous. So... But, you know, there were memories, there were good memories, they were fun. But I always knew from primary school that I would go away when I was 18. I always expected, and that was the expectation, that you would leave the village and go. And I didn't really want to do it, you know, I didn't really want to. In my heart of hearts, I did want to, because I wanted to study, but I didn't want to leave. But in fact, you know, as a student, I came back most weekends, which was, you know, I don't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing when I think about it, you know, when I think about it now. But I was always drawn back here, and I thought one day I will get back. But I was lucky because I went into teaching, and that's the kind of job you can do here. And I did have to do a postgrad to get what I wanted, well, to kind of retrained. I trained as a physical education teacher in Edinburgh, and it was, I suppose, it wasn't really narrow, because a lot of people do diversify after that. And so to enable me to, I suppose, work here, I had to. I went into special education. Well, it wasn't really additional support needs, it was called. Additional support needs. But in these days, they had special schools and they were closing them down, and they were integrating more children, and schools were being more inclusive, and they were wanting to train up more teachers. So I got an opportunity to do a postgrad, and I was able to continue my career in that, which I loved, until I retired. So I was one of the lucky ones that I was able to have a job here, come back. But now, what I like about it now, the scenery has not changed. You know, it is just such a beautiful place to live. I love to be beside the sea, and I love to see the sea, and I love to walk, and I love, you know, things that are good. You know, the golf is another thing I played when I was young as well, of course. And then you have years when you don't get a chance to play it, and you come back to it. You can come back to it, and it's lovely, and it's the golf here is great because it's there for everyone, and it's for all ages and absolutely all abilities, and it's a place to socialise. Visitors come and see it, and it's such a beautiful views from the course, and so golf is a big plus for the village. You know, it, you know, without that, it brings people here. We've got one shop, one shop left. The age of the population is so much older. The young families are missing. We're missing the young families. And if we're looking for what I would like to see, you know, young families growing up in the village again and staying here. I'd like to see people living here, not just holiday homes, not just, you know, it would be nice to see people. Don't get me wrong, the holiday homes are important, and the people love it here, and a lot of them have been coming from years and years, but we need the mix. The place needs the sort of infrastructure to support young people coming here, and, you know, we need to have the good broadband. We need to, you know, people can work from home, but you do need the facilities. You do need better phone signals and things here. The communication, we need our ferries back working. We need to get here. We can't depend on the A83. The road in and out is dubious. You know, I think we need the rural areas to be recognised, you know, as really important. Again, too much centralisation. The village hall is a fantastic resource for clubs and develops all the time. And also, there are some really good, there are some businesses here that provide employment and are trying to provide more employment, and you're seeing more local people getting employed within here, which is great to see. You know, so we want to kind of encourage and support these businesses as well. It's been a difficult few years for everyone, you know, for all businesses. So I hope that, you know, they'll survive this and it'll revive Carriedale again. But again, people need to get here, and they need something to do here. And one sad thing is the fishing. The fishing in the Clyde has declined, and it's not been encouraged to develop. You know, they're more interested, to be honest, in closing off areas than letting the fishing thrive again here. So, you know, that's a bit of out of our control. But I don't know what we do with that, but just keep speaking out, I suppose. But I'm so glad to be here. Yeah. My son's working from here just now, but my daughter, you know, was really based in Glasgow, and having had the strange was she moved to South Ayrshire because she wanted, you know, both her and her husband, you know, they wanted the children to, she was keen, I think, to as she said, for her children to get out into the country a bit more, to have the kind of opportunities that she had when she was young, and being able to play locally in the space and the grass and being beside the sea and things. So she now lives south there. So they moved in COVID and kind of worked from home where they were city centre based before. So they've done, they thought they would do it maybe later on. They didn't think they could do it as, when the children were so young, but they have done. They took the chance and they moved to get that kind of sort of just more open child space and be near the sea and country. So they, you know, the first things you do when you're in the city, you're looking for to see what school you can be next to, and you, that's a priority. But then suddenly, you know, being somewhere really nice to live and open is better, you know. And I think most people who live here is probably what they think, actually, that it's a nice place to live, you know. When they were down a few weeks ago, we see the dolphins on and off as they're coming past the house or whatever, or somebody shouts there's dolphins about. We go out, and every time the family would come down, they seem to miss it. But the last weekend they were down was really special, because having had a shout from somebody on the golf course, a text to say dolphins on the shore road, we all ran out, and sure enough there were the dolphins, and they jumped out the water for us, and they were, and the children were just mesmerized, absolutely mesmerized. And my daughter just thought it was amazing, and so we had great fun. And we watched them and videoed them for ages and that. In fact, the whole weekend was super, because we had the Harbour Day. It was really busy, and lots of people, lots of local people were back. And we had my brother's children, my brother, and we were all able, there was lots of families meeting. And there was another actual cousin of mine who had 10 grandchildren. They were all came and stayed in the caravan park. So there was lots of Gobreas back in Carradale, but there was lots of other families doing the same thing, meeting for Harbour Day. And it was nice to see the harbour buzzing and people there. And as my daughter said, this has been one of the best weekends, because we've seen the dolphins, it's been Harbour Day, we've met loads of people, Carradale has been blooming, the sun has been shining. And then we got out in our little boat. Alan's got a little motorboat in the harbour, moored in the harbour, and we got that into the water for the summer, and we all got out in it, and we sailed up, and the boys were steering the boat, and were absolutely loving it, you know. And we sailed up and down back the shore road, the shore up towards the fish farm and back. And it was absolutely beautiful, beautiful day, and so peaceful. And it was just so nice to be out in the boat again, actually. It was so lovely. So it was really a super weekend, really lovely weekend. And I think all the other families that were down had similar weekends. Yeah, so that was just, it was just a taste of what Carradale can be. You know, it really is a lovely place to live.